When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber.
That's up.
It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
A very, very happy winter solstice to you. It is the most depressing day of the year, not only because it's a football Friday and the Jets and Giants are terrible, but today is, in fact, the shortest day of the year. Not that it matters, because there's no sun. So I don't think it even means anything.
It's snowing in Jersey.
It's also not the shortest day of the year. It's the same amount of time as every day.
Okay, it's the day with the fewest minutes of sunlight.
Is that better for you, Sean?
Much better.
Thank you.
Welcome to a very special edition of Evan and Tiki. Christian Walker will not be a New York Yankee. He signed a three-year contract with the Houston Astros. I will calm the Yankee fan down in just a little bit, because this was the right decision to make to pass on him. But as we enter this Friday, we are in a very weird place. And I think it's a place that probably makes Tiki feel a little uncomfortable. And that's okay. We are in a place in which universally, if you are a fan of the New York Giants,
okay,
you are actively, you are passionately,
I am not,
rooting against your team.
Not true.
I believe it's true.
When? No matter what.
Tiki, first of all, let me just say this. If there is someone out there in our audience right now, whether they're sitting in traffic, whether they're beginning their Christmas vacation, and you are rooting for the New York Giants to win on Sunday, and it has nothing to do with fantasy, and it has nothing to do with gambling, you're just a fan who has pride, I want to hear from you at 888-808-1019.
Well, that's me.
You're one person,
I
think you're an anomaly.
I don't think I'm an anomaly. I think there's a lot of Giant fans who, maybe not the majority, but just want to see a victory. There are three games left here. And look, they're not going anywhere, not doing anything. Everybody's playing for their jobs. As my old running back coach used to say, they need to put a sign outside that says hiring all positions, including coach, including quarter, everything. Because, you know, when you're 2-12, most people are going to get fired. And I'm not just talking about the coaches, because that they may actually stay. But a lot of the players on a bad team are not going to be here next year. And so you have to realize that those guys want to win badly. And so for me, maybe because I'm a former player, I still see it from their mentality.
I get that.
And I want to see them win for them. Forget what's going on. Forget who they're going to draft. You know, hey, if we lose, we get to take a quarterback or a high draft pick. Great. That dude could replace me if I'm a player.
I get that.
And so it's hard for me to sit back and see the majority fan take that we need to tank to get the best position in the draft. Well, that just doesn't make sense.
I want to warn you about something. Get ready to be uncomfortable.
Why?
Because I think that 99.8% of Giant fans have come to that uncomfortable conclusion.
Yeah,
that
what if you miss? What if you miss?
You, of course you can miss. No one's saying.
What if you take Cam Ward and he's just terrible in the NFL?
Well, people are getting fired.
Of course.
That's what happens.
again. But, so it's like, I don't know.
No one's saying it's a guarantee. And remember, I'm usually on your side.
Yes.
A year ago when the Jets were wrapping up their regular season against the Patriots, I was out here on the radio saying, I want my team to win. Mm-hmm. It's going to make me feel better, even if I know it hurts my draft status. Here's what's changed. Here's what makes, to me, this game on Sunday really unique. It's unique because of such an extreme difference between winning and losing. In fact, you heard Chris McMonagle. He did a great job on the middays. Chris, you did a great job. Chris said something the other day that was hyperbolic, and he doesn't say hyperbolic things.
Suck it!
It wasn't even that. But I thought about what he said, and I was like, Big Mac's 1,000% right, even though he was being hyperbolic.
Wow, most hyperbole is nonsense.
You're right. This wasn't. And I'm going to repeat it, and I'm going to tell you, Tiki, you're going to think it's nonsense, and you may punch Big Mac in the face.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, well, you've experienced losses, so this may bother you. Chris McMonagle uttered a phrase that I think is brilliantly true, and he convinced me of it. If the New York Giants win on Sunday, that will be the worst victory in the history of the New York Giants.
Why?
And he's right. Because
it takes them out of the running to draft Cam Ward.
They go from
or Shador Sanders.
Yes, they go from 2-8. But it's not 2-3. It's not 5-7. It's 2-8.
The reality is, though, any of those guys that you draft, I don't care what position they're playing. Left tackle, let's say.
Right.
We've tried multiple times. Or quarterback, which we tried 7 years ago. Or probably not running back, I would say, in the top 10.
But yeah, we've learned our lesson.
The end, which we did a few years ago. You just don't know.
We all know you just don't know. But I think in a franchise's history where they are so desperate to try and find a quarterback, even if they're not right about it, they are clearly going to try and find that franchise quarterback. The difference between picking 1 and 2, which is where they're set up to pick,
yes,
and picking 7 or 8 is extreme. You know that better than anybody looking at this draft.
Of course, but I can't, in my mind, I can't wrap my head around the only thing that matters in this upcoming draft is getting one of these two quarterbacks. Because that's essentially what those that are saying we need to tank and we need to lose these last three games, that's what they're saying. That the only thing that matters from coaching staff, from roster construction, from free agency, to all of the other stuff, is pales in comparison to getting one of those two guys. And I just can't believe that. Right, I don't believe that that's how you create a winner, is by throwing everything else out. Culture, team, success, mantra, whatever, to get one of two guys.
Well, I don't believe
that is not how success happens in anything. It never comes down to that.
I completely agree that there's no way Brian Daboll, who told, or Connor Hughes told us a couple of days ago on this show, that he's telling confidants, hey, it feels like I'm coaching for my job.
He probably is.
Okay, there's no way Brian Daboll wants to lose. There's no way anyone in that giant room wants to lose. I watched my basketball team last night, who are better off losing. Obviously, they won and they want to win. So I get it. Like, the players want to win. No one's going to argue that. But when you sit down on the Sunday before Christmas and you're a Giant fan and you're even watching the game, because I'm sure there are many football fans, many Giant fans, even some Jet fans, who are like, I don't want to watch my team. They're not crazy like me and Sean and Tiki. Well, no, but that's you. You have to admit that there are fans out there that just check out.
No,
and say, I'm not going to watch it.
I'll be watching it because I'll be sitting in Vegas waiting for a 4 o'clock game.
But is that where you're going, Vegas? Oh, Vegas. That's right. You got the game of the year.
He's got the second biggest Giant game of the week.
That's true.
Look, we talking into a microphones, I would admit we're unique in this. We're going to still be sick and twisted and watch our team. But there are a lot of people that are saying, I do not care. But if you do care and you're watching your team on Sunday, I can't imagine hearing from a Giant fan. I get where you're coming from, Teague, as a former player with pride. I do. I respect it. But I can't imagine hearing a Giant fan say, nah, man, we got to win. Not when the draft implications are as stark as it is based on the results.
And not when we just lived this last year. We all got into the Tommy DeVito wins versus Washington, the Patriots, and that Packer Monday night game. We all high-fived and we said exactly what Tiki said. Look, this is about keeping culture and all of this. The truth is, that is the way the coaching staff should think. But from a fan's point of view, Tiki, we've heard about culture long enough that to me, 2-15 and 3-14 are not a big enough difference culture-wise.
This analogy has been used so many times. I'm going to use it on or against you guys. So you guys play the lottery. Oh man, that thing is a $3 billion. Mm-hmm.
You see that Mega Millions tonight?
I know.
868.
I know. It's a lot of cash.
Yeah.
How many people are going to go to the local bodega or just the grocery store and go get a lottery ticket?
A lot of people.
A lot of people.
They already did it.
Though. Right. Exactly. And you know what you're doing with that lottery ticket? You're wasting your money. You're wasting your money. Now, I'm not saying when you get the number one overall pick and you draft a quarterback, you waste your money, but it sometimes gets damn close. You just don't know.
Okay. I got an analogy for you.
That lottery ticket that you're trying to cash in is going to pay off.
I'm going to give you an analogy that I think is going to impact your thinking.
Go ahead.
Okay. If the New York Giants lose to the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday, and they continue losing, they're going to pick in the top two, and they're going to take one of these two quarterbacks, and I'd be the first to admit, I raise my hand, I have no idea what Cam Ward's going to be.
All right. Or they trade back, and they get Jalen Milroe because he's a winner.
That's probably not going to happen, though.
Probably not. I'm just.
Of course.
I'm throwing the alternative scenario out there.
But if they lose the final three games, they are 99.999999% selecting a quarterback with that pick. Okay? If they win on Sunday, their booby prize may be acquiring Kirk Cousins a few months later.
Nothing.
Like, if they're picking eighth in the draft, the odds are there isn't going to be a quarterback for them to take. So it changes the position that you need the most, and acquiring the guy, not to save you, because you're right, it's more than just a quarterback.
Yep.
It's an organization, and they need a lot on this roster, but it changes everything. And 90% of the time when we have these conversations, I'm on your side. And maybe it's because this is specifically with a quarterback. And this specifically is the difference between picking two and picking eight, which to me is so extreme.
But I also don't believe that any team is a player away. You, of all people, Evan.
I'm not saying they're a player away.
With your jet bandana on right now.
I can't wait
till we get on television and people see you looking all foolish with your red hair.
Do you think I look foolish today?
No, you look like a super fan.
Can you describe to the radio audience what I am wearing
today? You have a ugly sweater net shirt on. That is an ugly sweater net shirt.
Ugly
right?
sweater Nets t-shirt, yeah.
Ugly sweater. I'm just making sure I wasn't insulting your wardrobe. Ugly sweater Nets t-shirt on, which is black, and it has like snowflakes, but then like the, I don't know, the, what is that, like Roblox top at the top. I mean, it's crazy looking. And then you got a white bandana with a green jet logo in the middle of it, holding your hair up like you're a Muppet or something.
I'm a loser. I'm supporting the crappiest of my teams. That's what I decided to do today. And for this holiday season, I'm supporting the two crappiest teams I root for, the Nets and the Jets.
Yes, but my point is,
yes,
the Jets thought they were a quarterback away from being elite. How many calls did we get and BT and Sal get and the morning show get about this Jet team is Super Bowl bound because we got our quarterback? Yeah, it didn't happen. Didn't even get close. The Giants most certainly are not a quarterback away from being a viable slash good team. And so I can't roster build saying, I need one of these two guys. And if I don't get one of those two guys, I'm screwed. I just don't believe that that's the way to success. I know that'd be nice if you had the luxury to do so, but this team has holes. We've seen it. We know it. And if you're all in on the quarterback, you might be taking that lottery ticket and, you know, burning it before you even get a chance.
Counterpoint to that, Tiki, because I agree with a lot of what you're saying with all the holes. Mm-hmm. However, whether it's Joe Shane keeping his job or whether you're going to hire a new GM that comes in here and says, we don't have a quarterback to get by, my fear is...
Bridge.
You're okay, let's just...
Get a bridge.
That sounds sensible.
Get a Justin Fields.
Until the pressure mounts and these, whoever they are, go... I'm trading up, and I'm giving up assets to fill those other holes, and it sets the franchise further back. I'd rather be at the top of the draft and know I'm keeping my second rounder, my first rounder next year, and all of that stuff to fill those holes and take the swing on the quarterback now.
All right. Let someone else take the swing. And you move back and get draft picks. And then do a bridge. Determine whether or not you want to keep your coach and your general manager after they finish their four-year contract. And then you decide next year. Like, that's the alternative. I know what people are saying, but we had this conversation a couple of days ago. The timing of the Giants firing their head coach and their general manager is so screwed up with the need for the quarterback, right? If you let them draft the quarterback because they desperately need a quarterback and then they still stink and you fire him, now you've screwed up the quarterback that you just drafted because, like Trevor Lawrence and like Zach Wilson and like all these other... No, Zach really didn't have that.
Daniel Jones had it.
Sam Darnold had it.
I'm trying to remember now. Yes, Sam Darnold had it, yes.
So, like, you screw them up when you fire the coaching staff
right
after you draft the kid.
Doesn't help, that's for sure.
It just doesn't help. I'm trying to think of the success when it happened. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
And so, if there's too many decisions that have to be made with the Giants. And so, to me, I can't sit here and say, lose. Then we'll decide whether or not we're keeping our coach. And then we'll decide whether or not we're going to draft this kid or that kid to play quarterback. And then we'll figure out everything else. There's just too much.
The other thing about Sunday's Giants game, because I'm actually fascinated by it. I'm fascinated by seeing how Giant fans are going to react if they shockingly beat the Falcons, especially guys like Sean. I'm fascinated to see Michael Penix Jr. I have not seen him play since watching college highlights on YouTube.
Get to see a beautiful lefty throw the rock.
And I love that. I'm very biased towards that
as a
lefty.
That's why I said it, because you're a lefty.
I loved watching Boomer when I was a kid. I enjoyed watching Michael Vick, Steve Young. Mm-hmm. I love watching the sexy lefty quarterback throw. Even Tua, I actually defend despite hating the Dolphins. So I'm fascinated by that. But the other thing that kind of bothers me, I'm just annoyed by it. And I don't want to say like I'm angry about it. I'm not going to scream and yell about it, but it's like a fly that I just want to like scrunch with my hand.
Right. You can't catch it, though. It flies too high.
Is the idea, and you may have heard CeeLo's update at the top of the show. CeeLo was saying, hey, Giants are playing the Falcons. Tommy DeVito has been cleared and will be the backup. The backup?
Right.
Like, we need to see another week of Drew Locke instead of Tommy DeVito?
It's almost like, I'm not going to even, I don't think this is true.
Just say this.
This is my conspiracy theory.
Oh, I love it.
This is, all right, we're going to start you, Tommy, and then we're going to have it. Forearm injury. That sounds good. Forearm injury, right? All right, forearm injury, so you can't play next week. All right, now, Drew, it's your turn. All right, Drew, now you're going to have a heel injury, so you can't play next week. Nothing serious, but just enough to like be plausible. We'll throw a boot on you just in case, right? And so you can't. So, Tommy, you're back. All right, Tommy, you got to go in the concussion. Even though we missed it and you got crushed and you played 8 more plays or 10 more plays or whatever it is, we're going to take your helmet now and we're going to throw Tim Boyle in there. And then you get clear protocol. Right, so, Drew, you go back now. Right? It's just like it's conveniently an issue.
What would be the conspiracy for?
No. I have no idea.
To annoy us or something?
I have no idea.
I am not.
But doesn't it feel like that?
It feels weird. Well, you know what it feels like? It feels like they despise Tommy DeVito. That's what it feels like. And while I'm not like Lugie who thinks he's the next coming, I do want to see him play.
No, I don't think they despise him because I think he's like an everyman.
So why isn't he starting on Sunday?
I don't know.
Well, that's my question.
I think it's just like, all right, Tommy, you weren't good enough in game 2.
Was Drew Locke?
All right, Drew, we're going to throw you in there. Ah, man, you are all right, but you weren't really good enough either. All right, Tommy, we're going to throw you back in there. God, man. You stunk for a lot of that game. We had to pull you. All right, Drew, we're going to throw you back in. It feels like I don't know.
I'll tell you something.
I know it's injury related, but it's just conveniently injury related.
Honestly, if we're judging on the brief amount of like tape we've seen of these three quarterbacks, and we're like, hey, who's the best player?
Tim Boyle.
It's the answer is Tim Boyle. Right. It's not even Tommy DeVito and Drew Locke.
The problem with Tim Boyle is he's got like a wet noodle arm.
Right.
But he's smart.
Yeah.
Right? He knows what he's...
He came in there.
He knows what he wants to do with the football.
Absolutely. So we are being subjugated to watching Drew Locke again. Now, for you, Sean, maybe that's a better thing because you want the tank. For Tommy, that's got to piss you off. You want to see DeVito.
Of course I do. Nobody wants to see Drew Locke play football. Literally nobody. I think we could all agree on that. We can't agree on the tanking or whether we want them to win. We don't want to see Drew Locke or Tim Boyle.
No, we don't want to see Drew Locke, but I think you guys are... Drew Locke's the best of the three.
Obviously. Is he?
No way. I've come around to that. After watching him, I think he makes terrible decisions.
Yeah, right.
By the way, that doesn't make him a good quarterback by any means.
And he runs.
Right, he runs. I just think they're more likely to score more points, even if it's 3 more with Drew Locke.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
Yeah.
But I have to take the L, and I didn't think so 3 weeks ago.
I don't know about that. Italian fans, how are we feeling going into Sunday? Are we excited for a victory? Or have we come to this depressing realization that a loss is best for business. 888-808-1019. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we'll get into the ramifications of Christian Walker not signing with the New York Yankees. But if you're just tuning in, signing with the Houston Astros. Plus, did you know that a free kick existed in the NFL for a field goal? We got that experience last night. We'll break it down a little bit later on. We'll play a game of Tank Bingo. And coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, very excited, we are unveiling the Final Four and the number one most memorable New York sports moment of the year in 24. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. There are rules in sports that you know exist, but then you forget they exist because you never see them happen. And then when it happens, you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. That exists. It's like the catcher's balk in Major League Baseball. Most people are like, what the hell is a catcher's balk?
Right.
It's actually a slang term. It's not officially a balk, but it's interference when the catcher is not set up in the actual box. And so it's an illegal pitch. Now, who the hell sees that? You almost forget it exists. Last night, while watching that Bronco-Charger game, as that punt was being fair caught and a penalty was being thrown, I forgot or never had it pop into my mind, oh, yeah, one of the options that you rarely see in the NFL is a team can call a fair catch and then get a free kick field goal.
Right.
And I am convinced Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit forgot about it, too.
Of course. I don't even know if I've ever seen it.
Yeah, I think I've seen it once, and it was missed. Like 10 years ago, I think I remember seeing it.
Oh, yeah, and it was like a 60-something yard field goal.
Yeah.
I do remember that. Yeah, it was unmakeable.
It was unmakeable, but I always forget, like, what leads to that. And then you saw it last night, if you're watching Thursday Night Football, where it led to a 57-yard field goal. And basically, it's like a practice kick before a game. Where no one can block, there is no snap, you're kicking, not off a tee, but off the you know, just the holding of the ball,
right.
And then you kick it, and it turned out to be a big play in the game, and I'm telling you, as I'm watching it, I'm like, I completely forgot that even existed.
Right, I forgot that it existed as well, and then even, I don't even think Jim Harbaugh knew that he could do it.
1,000%. You could tell that he was being told, because remember, yes, he called a timeout after he sent the offense on the field.
Because he wanted a Hail Mary.
Right, because he figured, oh, I got the extra 15 yards, I'll do the Hail Mary, it's from the 45, I got a shot, or wherever it was from.
He was also the last coach to do this.
What do you mean?
What, are Jim you Harbaugh. Serious?
Are you sure? Because I thought it was also the Chargers, but it was years earlier.
No, Harbaugh had Phil Dawson attempt a 71-yard free kick back in 2013.
Yeah,
when he was the 49ers head coach.
Right. So then he had to know, right?
Yes.
But I don't think he must have forgotten.
He forgot, like all of us.
Because he got told.
Yes.
Like, you can try to kick this now. And he's like, all right, well, come off the field. Let's try this field.
That's what, like,
the thing is, it's returnable. So if you miss it short and... You put your kickoff team on there, but basically, your kickoff coverage team on there.
But you're risking something.
But you're risking a little something.
Right, because usually, think about it, it's on a fair catch, so the ball you are receiving, and you've got three choices. You could just kneel on it and end the half, which is an option. You can throw a Hail Mary, which is an option, or you can try this. Trying this poses a risk.
Right.
The risk is it's returned for a touchdown.
Not when it's a 57-yard field goal.
Right, that one is short enough where you've got like a soft foot,
right,
that ball's at least, you know, getting through,
right,
or getting towards the end zone.
So Cameron Dicker had an easy field goal here.
Because especially when nobody's rushing.
Nobody's rushing. It's 57 yards. It's exactly what you said. It's like the pregame when they're out there by themselves. Usually they just have a tee that they set up, but a couple of kicks they'll take with the holder out there. I mean, it kind of, I don't want to say it changed the momentum of the game.
I think it did.
It changed a little something in this game.
I want to ask you an honest question.
Go ahead.
And you may not want to answer it because you're a nicer human being than I am.
Go ahead.
Than Tommy is and than Sean is. Does Jeff Ulbrich know this rule? If this happened in a Jet game, would he have been confused?
I don't know.
Now, the answer is no. He has no idea. Sean, does Brian Daboll know this rule?
I'm going to say no, but I have more faith in him than Ulbrich, for sure.
Tommy, Brian Daboll does not know
this. He has
rule.
No idea. He's too busy yelling at somebody.
Well, that's what they have the game coordinators for.
That is true.
Every team has one.
You're right. Like, because it looked like the game coordinator was the one telling Jim Harbaugh about the rule. But to Sean's point, if he tried it a decade ago, then he's got an idea. 888-808-1019. The Giants are about to play a game against the Atlanta Falcons, and it is a very, 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 very important game. If they somehow win, their draft pick could go from 2 to 8. If they lose, they remain on pace to be picking in the top 2 and at least potentially drafting their future quarterback. To me, as someone who's not a tankist, I can't imagine how a Giant fan sits there on Sunday and roots for their team to win. Let's go to Pat on Long Island. How are you, Pat?
I'm good. Listen, I'm with Tiki on this. You got to win. You got to go all the way. And even if Why is Sanders supposedly number one? Who did he play? What was his toughness of schedule?
So your counter is to attack the prospect? Because
I'm not attacking the prospect.
Well, he is. He was attacking Shedeur Sanders.
I'm saying I'm not. I'm not attacking Shedeur Sanders. I don't trust rookies. You guys heard my rant a few weeks ago, a couple months ago during the World Series. I just don't trust them.
Doesn't mean you shouldn't want the best rookies.
So if you're trusting a rookie to save your job.
But nobody said that.
If you are Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, yes, you are.
Well, maybe they are. I'm simply saying picking two versus picking eight is a significant enough difference where I'd prefer to lose.
Hear what I'm saying, Evan.
Okay.
If they keep this regime, so if they fire the regime, whatever. You're starting over. You might as well go get a rookie quarterback. But you hope you hire the right coach who knows how to groom and develop a rookie quarterback, which, again, is a crapshoot. Because guess what? The Jets did it with Zach Wilson. Yeah, we got the right coach. Look what they did out in San Francisco. He'll be fine. Ruin the kid, right? So that's the challenge of hiring a new head coach. But if you don't fire your head coach and your general manager, they are dependent on this rookie that they are going to draft. And if they suck again and they finish 4-13, they're going to get fired. Right?
Yeah.
And then the rookie quarterback is going to get a second head coach and a second offensive coordinator, and his development is going to be stunted. And so to me, like, I know it sounds really nice and sounds really, I don't know, what teams do to change themselves, but it really is, I don't love it as a path to success. Because when we talk about quarterbacks coming into the league and being like this difference maker, it's all about the situation they find themselves
in. I agree with that, yeah.
I can think of one recently where the quarterback came in, it's a crappy team, crappy situation, and he did great and the team did great. And that's the Houston Texans, C.J. Stroud. And maybe C.J. Stroud was just underrated because I didn't think he was that coming out of Ohio State.
Or maybe the administration, since it was new, was going to be right even without their franchise quarterback. Because D'Amico Ryans knows what he's doing. He looks like a hell of a head coach.
The reality is the offensive coordinator had just tutored or mentored two young quarterbacks, Brock Purdy and then Trey Lance, to come into the league. He becomes the new new offensive coordinator. So he knows what he's doing with a young quarterback. They have tons of talent on that team offensively. And he made some mistakes early, but very quickly he figured it out because he was a pretty good quarterback.
I just view it like this, though. If that what you're saying is true, then to me, then I've made up my mind, then I do want them fired. Because I don't think the biggest argument for keeping this regime, the biggest argument is they never got to take a swing on their quarterback.
Right. And they're going to develop him. Right.
But if you're not going to do that, if they're just going to go, you know what, let's trade back, get picks, and you know.
No, what I'm saying is if they are allowed to keep their jobs and they draft a quarterback and it just feels bad. Matt Eberflus.
Right.
It just feels like this really isn't right. You've now screwed up the kid. And you've set your team back 2 years.
Well, see, what I would do, though, in that scenario, if we're that bad, like the Bears are, then I would go full Arizona Cardinals, and I would redraft the quarterback next year, and I'd keep freaking throwing darts until you get that right.
How did that work out?
Worked out well.
Worked out well for Arizona.
I mean, it worked, but it's a rarity.
They didn't get a superstar, but they were right.
It's also a rarity. Like, I get that point, but that's not a common
thing. Rookie of the year.
Right.
No, it worked out, but my point is it's a rarity to use that example of I'm going to fire a coach and then get rid of a quarterback after 1 year. It doesn't happen very often.
Build up the roster.
Jets should have done that.
If they plug a bunch of their holes and they get a bridge quarterback and it could be Justin Fields or whatever, if that's the game plan, I think we all agree they're going to win 6 to 7 games next year and they're going to win enough to never be back in that spot to take that swing.
That's your hope. That's your hope.
Yeah, but then if you're good enough and say you win 9 or 10 games, maybe Justin Fields is your guy.
That could happen. He's young enough. He's only 25.
But you don't want to build a team where you live in no man's land for the next 10 years.
I hear you, but you could draft the quarterback and still be in no man's land. That's all I'm saying. We've seen a lot of that. A lot of it.
Let's go to Tony in Brooklyn. What's up, Tony?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy holidays to you both.
What's up, man?
Thank you. Likewise.
I am a huge, huge Giants fan since '79. So much so that I met Tiki I don't know if he'll remember this, at the Tribeca Grand Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
When Imani Toomer had that silent auction.
I remember that event.
Yes. I was there at that event. I was very honored to meet you. And I just want to say this. I can't even begin to comprehend the idea of losing games. You play to win the game. Now, listen.
Yeah,
the only thing that losing games guarantees is the excitement of picking number one overall. But that excitement dies out real quick. Ask Carolina, ask Chicago, okay? So let's be real. If we really want that number one pick, like we did when Eli Manning was coming out, there are other ways to get that pick without building a losing culture.
Yeah, but the culture's already lost, would be my answer to that. This isn't October or November when guys like Sean would say, hey, we're better off losing. This is 3 weeks to go in a year in which you're 2-12.
Yeah.
They suck. I'm sorry, beating the Atlanta Falcons isn't going to change that.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I veer off from the you have to build a good culture. I'd normally agree with that, but it's too late.
Right.
It's a terrible season.
Right. I'm trying to think of the overalls that have number one overalls. I guess we'd go 1-2. So CJ and Bryce, we talk about. CJ was good. Bryce, not so much. You know, he seems to be getting a little bit better this year as it goes on.
Yeah, I think he still has a chance, by the way. I wouldn't give up on him completely.
I wouldn't either. Caleb Williams, it's been a disaster first year. It's not all his fault, but they fired their offensive coordinator, fired their head coach. It's just, just weird. Thomas Brown in an unenviable position.
Trevor Lawrence in 2021.
Trevor Lawrence.
What would you say about that? Like, it's okay,
well,
I guess?
He's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You fire the coach. Now, Urban deserved to be fired, but you fire the coach and it stunts him. And he hasn't really evolved into what they need him to be. Now, injuries haven't helped. Joe Burrow, though, is the example of success.
That's a franchise changer.
Right. And they weren't very good. He got hurt, but they weren't very good. And then all of a sudden, they were amazing.
Right.
And even this year, even though they're bad record-wise, he's having an MVP quality year.
No question about it.
So, like, there are examples of it working, but Joe Burrow, let's not forget how amazing he was in college.
Yeah, look.
He had perhaps the greatest college career or year of any college quarterback
He
ever.
Moved up a draft board like you'll never see.
Right.
A year out, it wasn't expected to go number one. It clearly, drafting a quarterback, and in this year's case, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, isn't going to guarantee anybody anything. And I think we all know that. Eyes wide open going into that draft. If the Giants pick 1 or 2, as cocky as Sean will be, we'll have to remind them, hey, this ain't a guarantee. You never know. With that said, all I'm simply saying is picking 8th is very different than picking 1st or 2nd.
Right, and you're guaranteed to miss on quarterback if you don't try to take the quarterback.
Where did Josh Allen go?
Buffalo Josh Allen, or the guy who changed his name because he didn't want to be known as Josh Allen?
If I was talking about Josh Hines Allen, I would say Josh Hines Allen.
Josh Allen went 8th, I think.
I'm calling Josh Hines Allen.
Oh, look at you. That's right. I get confused. I don't want to disrespect him because I respect someone who changes their name and says, call me this. But now I refer to him as Josh Allen, who had to change his name because he didn't want to be remembered with Josh Allen. Meanwhile, Josh Allen, the pass rusher, is pretty good.
Right.
It's not like he stinks.
No, he's very good.
Josh Allen, I think, went 8th overall, didn't he?
Right. Josh Allen, he wasn't 1 or 2. What about Lamar? Lamar was bottom of the first round.
That doesn't mean you wouldn't rather still pick at the top.
But I'm just saying, there is a bunch of good quarterbacks in this league. Bo Nix. I mean, heck, a couple weeks ago, before he threw those interceptions,
TK, here's how I would frame this. Because you're right, and drafts are, you don't know. And I think we all admit that.
Jordan Love.
I totally agree.
He was like 15th.
No, we get it. When you're 2-12... and you're as bad as this.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell's the difference between 3-12? And that's, I guess, other than Daboll, who's going to say my job is the difference, and I respect that. But for Sean Morash or any other Giant fan out there, when you wake up Monday morning and you are 3-12 versus 2-13, what I ask you is, to quote a former Secretary of State, in a far different situation, what difference does it make?
We have sat through pain like you would never believe. And this last decade, except for those two playoff years, has been brutal. Devastating Sundays. At this point, we have reached Christmas. I don't need 3 hours of happiness. What I need from me and from this fan base is, we'll worry about whether the quarterback's a bust or not down the line. We all agree that whoever they're taking 1 or 2 is not somebody that's projected to go in the 2nd round. So at least it's worthy enough of the dart. I want in April a feeling of hope and a feeling of excitement and energy that this fan base has not gotten to experience in a long time.
What I want to know from you is if on Sunday the Giants play an excellent game, they just play incredibly well, Drew Lock, those four touchdown passes, the defense looks excellent, and they thoroughly outplay. Thoroughly outplay and dismantle.
How can you be upset about that?
Well, that's why I'm loading up this question, Teague. I got it all planned out. And the defense dismantles this young quarterback in Michael Penix. He's not ready for the moment. And the Giants walk down to Atlanta and they storm Georgia. All right? And they win 45-7. Are you mad after the game?
I have a house full of people coming over Sunday. They will all be asked to leave the premises at 4:30 if they win 45-7.
Really?
Because I will be inconsolable.
Right.
And I will not be able to have a candid conversation with anybody the rest of the night.
Because he'll be thinking in the back of his mind, why wasn't Drew Lock starting from the very beginning?
I'll be thinking, what number is Kirk Cousins wearing?
But is it because it doesn't fit your philosophy or because you don't think the Giants are going to get a quarterback? Because they could still get a quarterback at 8. They could still get a quarterback in the second round. They could still develop a great quarterback. So is it more that your philosophy is that you can only get a great quarterback in the top 2 or 3, or is it that you'd be mad that they won't get a quarterback, period?
The worst case scenario for the Giants entering 2025 is that they decide to keep this regime based on a win or something to prove they haven't lost anything, to get the 3 wins, and by keeping them, they lose out on, for a second straight year, swinging on the quarterback they prefer. And I think that is just... that is working in backwards for this organization in a way to move forward.
But I don't think it's working backwards when you drafted Malik last year. Let's say you draft a great pass rusher or a great corner this year, and then your next quarterback would have those players. You're getting hung up on the regime.
Right.
It's about the talent. We
remember
for the
that,
roster and
remember
the team,
that,
not the coach.
Remember that next year when you're accusing the coach of tanking because they don't have a quarterback.
Well, I'm just trying to be devil's advocate
here. Well, they're going
to
get a quarterback, even if they're not in the top two.
Well, they have to. They can't start the year with Tim Boyle.
Right. They're going to get a quarterback. And again, maybe it's Jalen Milroe. He's in that same system that Michael Penix came from with DeBoer.
Or maybe it's Kirk Cousins.
Or it's not going to be Kirk Cousins.
No,
I'm just telling you, it's not going to be Kirk Cousins. You don't know. We know who 1 and 2 are going, but there's a bunch of other quarterbacks in this draft who aren't bad players. I mean, I know Quinn Ewers has had a weird season because he got hurt.
Right.
Doesn't run enough, and people prefer Arch Manning to him down there in Texas. But whatever. He was a good quarterback a year ago. If he had come out, he probably would have been drafted late in the first round or second round. So, like, there's quarterbacks available. You don't need the top two. And to me, I think winning is just more important.
Anthony in the great state of Ohio. How are you, Anthony?
What up, Ant?
What's going on, guys? Good holiday to you, I hope. So I had two questions, really. So the first question is, I just kind of wanted to know, like, Teak, what dispensary do you hit? Because I'm just wondering, you are in the clouds, bro. I mean, and I have nothing but the utmost respect for this. And I mean,
if I did partake, it would be edibles. I would not put.
Thank God for drugs.
I want to put smoke in my lungs.
I'm gonna make you a bunch, and I'm gonna send them to the station. Nice. And no, I'm not gonna do all that. But listen,
why not, dude? I mean, come on,
listen, you're getting Teaky all excited, man. Evan, I always knew about you, man. I always knew how you rolled too. So, but no, listen, I'll send them to the whole office. You guys will have.
Hey, Ant, it's about to be baseball offseason talk. You know, I can kind of need that.
He doesn't want to hear about Christian Walker for the 12th time. Come on.
Listen, Soto. No, listen, I do want to say something, though. Like, when it comes down to everything that you were saying, like, before in the opening, when it came to, like, the draft picks, like, they could miss. They're not – they could. But in this situation, whether we, like Evan said a couple minutes ago, whether we finish 2-15 or 3-15, whatever it is, we're not going to feel good about the situation no matter what.
Right.
And to your point, in this situation, and what do I know? Because, I mean, Jaden Daniels came out of nowhere last year at the end of the year where they were talking about him. But everybody's saying it's a two quarterback draft. And if that may not be the case, and maybe some people step up later, but if that's the case, I want my chance at one of the best possible candidates that I can get if I am going to take that shot. And I don't believe that I believe Mara already decided to keep him.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's too much riding on it in order for him to make his decision based on one crap win or two crap wins at the end of this year.
No, you're probably right about that.
So I just don't see, if that's the case and the decision has already been made, then that comes down to what you wanted to give them in the first place was their chance to draft and develop a quarterback.
Right, and that's, Anthony, that's what Sean was saying. Like, at some point, Dabes has to be evaluated off the guy that he wanted, and he hasn't had that
Has not had at all. Think about the quarterbacks he's coached since he's been here.
Yeah.
He coached Daniel Jones, which is from a regime ago. He coached Tommy DeVito.
Mm-hmm.
He's coached Tyrod Taylor. Nice little backup, but that's all he is.
And he knew him. He knew him previously because he was up in Buffalo.
I like Tyrod Taylor, but he is what he is. He's coached Drew Lock.
Yeah.
And this isn't excuses for Brian Daboll. It's why there is a part of me that looks at Brian Daboll and says, boy, I need to see him with a young quarterback he can mold. We haven't seen that yet here.
Close your eyes and go back to the hiring process. The allure of him was he helped identify and group. Now, we see Allen's taken off without Daboll.
Right.
But I'll tell you why that doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter because he still had to help nurture him.
Right. I think when we talk about developing a young quarterback, we got to look at who helped develop them.
Right.
And I'm going to assume, maybe it didn't happen, I wasn't behind the scenes, but that Brian Daboll played a big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
What he's doing now, 5, 6, 7 years in his career, you got to ignore he got better without Daboll. Well, he's also a veteran. Guys should get better later in their career. Look at Takey.
Right.
So you got better as your career went on.
I only say this to say we just went through this whole process to get to this point. And it's been painful this year, but the whole idea of Brian Daboll is to have him have the opportunity to groom a quarterback he drafts. To not have him have that opportunity makes the last 3 years, including a coach year, a complete waste of time.
Are you going to record One Giant Step right after the game, your podcast?
Unfortunately, not right after the game.
He's going to be hammered.
No, it's not that. It's my daughter's birthday.
Oh, okay. Well, you're going to do it like a few hours after the game?
Yeah.
Do you get hammered on your daughter's birthday?
I mean, I'll kick a couple back.
Yeah, why not? I ask because I'm doing a lot of driving on Sunday night. I'm going to be driving to the great state of North Carolina, and I want to, only if the Giants win, by the way. If the Giants lose, I apologize. I'll be listening to like something.
Oh, the Giants, by the way, the Giants win, you might get it because I might literally have to throw everybody out of my house.
Oh, I got
to
hear it.
No blowing out the candles this year, honey.
I want to hear you melt down after a win. There's something kind of like sadistic about it. Like hearing him be angry after a giant win. I don't know. It feels like it's going to make my Sunday night. I don't know why. If you lose, no offense, I'm probably not going to download it.
Safe travels, Ev.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate it.
I'll listen regardless.
Thank you, TV.
Evan's a sadist.
I think I am. I think I am.
Definitely.
Let's go to Kyle in Mountainside, New Jersey. What's shaking, Kyle?
Hey, Evan. Hey, Tiki. Happy holidays, boys.
Likewise, man. What's up?
Happy holidays.
I just, I'm one of those crazy, rare Giants fans that actually wants to see the Giants win this weekend, and I have two reasons why.
Go.
The first reason is because I'm a big Dable and Shane fan, and as a Giants fan, I believe in continuity, mm-hmm. so I want to see them, you know, be there next year, and I think a big win would actually help their case. And the second reason is because I don't really want to see Michael Penix beat us. It would give us Giants fans a little bit of hope and, like, all right, we made the right decision with Malik Nabers at 6 instead of, you know, pushing for Penix, even if it's for just 1 week.
Right. Right. Now, I mean, that's the irrationality that we have as fans.
Yes. No, I get that.
You make this profound career judgment off of a game, in the latter part of the season when both teams are kind of out of it.
Whether it happens or not, if Michael Penix Jr. plays well, even against the crappy beat-up Giant defense, if Michael Penix Jr. plays well in his NFL debut against the New York mm-hmm. Giants and Joe Shane, who did not select him, whether Sean wants to admit it, whether anyone wants to admit it, it's a bad look. It's a bad look. Mm. You can spin it however the hell you want. It will not look good and it won't feel good until he plays again.
What happens if Malik Nabers has 140 yards and 2 touchdowns?
I think it'll still be because...
Even in the loss.
I'll tell you why it'll still be. I love Malik Nabers, and I think you guys have been right that he's going to be this top four wide receiver in the league for the next 10 years.
Right. Brock Bowers and Brian Thomas. Top rookies right now.
Yeah, Malachi Corley drafted ahead of him because, a quarterback matters more.
Yes.
And that would be my answer. So, as good as Nabers looks, if Michael Penix Jr. hits, it will be a bad pick.
Right.
Not because Nabers isn't good, but because the quarterback's more important. It's similar, if not the same, to Saquon. Saquon was fine as a Giant, but why it didn't work is because they needed a quarterback.
Right. And, you know, a wide receiver, even the best ones, 5 to 12 touches a game.
Right.
Quarterback touches the ball 40 times.
Yes.
50 times. Impact, at least, I'd say, on 50
so
plays.
I don't think, to your point, even if Nabers plays great, it would impact the idea of, oh, my God, they passed on another good quarterback.
It would just help you feel better.
Yeah, this is all about feeling good.
Yes.
You know, I think back to a year ago when I sat here into this microphone and said, I want the Jets to beat the Patriots. And maybe you guys remember that and you're like, wow, Ev, you're a hypocrite. Why were you so cool with wanting your team to win then? But here you say, hey, the Giants are better off losing. And I think there's two huge things that are different. Okay. Number one, draft positioning for a quarterback was far different. Like, we were just talking about the Jets having a better pick. There wasn't a specific guy I was eyeing, and it certainly wasn't a quarterback with Aaron Rodgers coming back. So that's number one. The Giants are literally looking at picking two or picking eight with quarterbacks being the top two guys in this draft. There's an extreme difference. But the other part is very small. It made me feel good to beat the Patriots. And
needed to because it had been 14?
Yeah. Been a million years. And not only that, and I feel this way today on December 20th, a year later, Bill Belichick's last game he coached in the NFL was a loss to the pathetic New York Jets. That's a fact.
That's a very small potato.
It's a small potato, but I'm being real. There's no satisfaction a Giant fan's going to have in beating the Atlanta Falcons unless you want to rub Sal Licata's nose in it, and he don't even care about the Falcons anymore.
I want revenge on Lorenzo Carter.
Is that it? By the way, speaking of the New York Jets, if you think the world laughing at them was bad yesterday, it got worse as the day went on. We'll explain why. Plus, Christian Walker is not a New York Yankee, and I'm telling you, it's a good thing. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.